Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to Bagels and Blessings. Oh my, I'm so excited. Guess what? Back in the studio in just a few moments, Rabbi Ron Goldberg. Now, we always have a fantastic time when he's here in the studio, and we're just going to talk, and maybe you'll want to call in, and it's going to be so much fun. Oh, my goodness. And somebody's going to win a coupon for bagels. So stay with me, and I'll be right back. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael. Now that was the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel, and I want to tell you a little bit about Bagels and Blessings. It's a ministry of Shammai Yisrael Messianic Congregation. We are made up of Jews and Gentiles that love Jesus. That's Yeshua. We say Yeshua, which is the Hebrew way to see Jesus. We fellowship on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. We're located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half a mile south of Empire Boulevard in Irondequoit. Now, while you're at the Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, you're going to want to visit... I'm sorry, when you're at Shema, you're going to want to visit the Messianic Bookstore, The Fig Tree. It's open every Saturday after services from around noon to 1, and it's also open on Tuesdays from 1 to 7, and Thursdays from 1 to 6. And I just found out that it's also going to be open at the public market on Thursdays at 7 a.m., and I think like till around 1 or 2. So that's a public market on Thursdays. You can check out the Fig Tree Bookstore. They'll have a stand there. And the Fig Tree is where you want to buy CDs of great Messianic music, prayer shawls, shofars, books about sharing Messiah, or books about the Jewish holidays, cards, and jewelry. And again, they are open every Saturday from noon to 1, Tuesdays from 1 to 7, and Thursdays from 1 to 6, and now Thursday mornings starting at 7 a.m. at the public market. Now, if you're in Lockport, Medina, or Buffalo, and you love Messianic music, then you're going to want to check out Congregation Breth Hadashah. They're at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst, and their services are every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Jonathan Sattel, take it away. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom.
Yes, Shabbat Shalom. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful day. Yes. Well, this program is all about Yeshua. Yes, I believe that the Jewish Bible has lots of prophecies that point to Yeshua being the Messiah. And Becca Shea has this really cool song. It's all about Yeshua. Give a listen.
I'm convinced neither death nor life nor angels or principalities. touched in the ninth hour. No longer bound by law because he loves us all. There isn't a thing we could do to receive this grace he freely gave. But believe by faith.
And you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Oh, what an exciting song. And what an exciting Messiah, Yeshua. He's our Messiah. Woo! We sang a really awesome song today. You know it as there's power in the name of Jesus. And we just said there's power in the name Yeshua. And we were really into worship and it was fantastic. Well, yesterday there was an awful lot of wind blowing through this place. And Joel Chernoff has this really cool song. There's a wind that blows. You know, the word for wind in Hebrew is ruach.
There's a wind that blows from the holy one that softens the stony heart and fills the soul. There's a wind that blows from his holy throne that causes the dry and bare. My thirsty heart.
is desperate to be where living waters flow.
Precious, precious song. Again, that was Joel Chernoff, who used to be part of a group called Lamb way back when in the 70s. And this is from his CD, Restoration of Israel. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And stay with me, because very soon, Rabbi Ron Goldberg will be here in the studio, and we're going to have a wonderful chat together. But right now, I'd like you to hear about upper cervical chiropractic.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They have been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013. With state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment, they work to determine if they're what you need to get your life back. If you would like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic Care of Rochester, located at 1280 North Winton Road.
Check them out online at www.ucccroc.com. Definitely want to go there and see Dr. Ed, and you will get your life back. And, you know, it's really important that you have your head on straight. You know what I mean? All right. Well, how many times have you had to wait in line? It's really frustrating, especially if you're in a hurry. It's never easy to wait. But you know, we're also waiting for our Messiah. We're waiting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sally Klein O'Connor puts it this way. She's waiting for the King of Jews. And here is the Waiting for the King of Jews blues.
I've done some waiting on tables. Sometimes I stand in line. Seems like I'm waiting forever. Feels like I'm doing time. Some people wait for a phone got those long anticipated.
So awesome. I love it. I love it. Right now, we are experiencing waiting also. You know, we switched our internet service. It doesn't matter which one, but they accidentally turned off our phone service in the process. And so we're waiting for our landline to be returned on or whatever the word is. And that's taken a while. So we're waiting. And Sally Klein O'Connor was waiting for the King of Jews. How you like that? Wonderful. All right, I want to tell you about Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. We've been waiting, by the way. We've been waiting for this weather, haven't we? We've been waiting for the sunshine and the warmth. So now is the time to make sure that your central air conditioning is working. You're going to call Excellent Air Heating and Cooling at 585-889-7840. This is a really good company, family owned and operated, and they love Messiah Yeshua. They love the Lord. They're honest, ethical, and excellent. You know what I'm saying? So you want to call them. You can really put your air conditioning on now. This is so exciting. I mean, maybe tomorrow it'll snow. I don't know, but that's a four-letter word. I shouldn't have said that. Call them today, 585-889-7840. And right now, because we have Rabbi Ron Goldberg here, I thought another nice Jewish boy who loves Yeshua is Marty Goetz, and he's a Jew born anew. Give a listen.
I had a bar mitzvah when I was 13. The greatest bar mitzvah that you've ever seen. The temple on the corner of Mayfield and Lee was filled with my friends and my family. All of them proud as proud could be, with catering far as the eye could see.
complete with a chopped liver statue of me. But now they ask me how I could go so wrong, and why all of a sudden I'm singing this song. They say, son, you're deserting your fathers of old, so why don't you just come back to the fold? You're such a nice boy, or weren't you told that when you were born they broke the mold? So what do you need with this stuff you've been sold? But it's a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done, when I believe what they said was true, that Yeshua is God's only son. Well, I've done many things and I don't do a few, but this one thing I do made me a Jew born anew. Yes, through and through I'm a Jew born anew. So hallelujah to Yeshua. From a Jew who never knew Yah could come to die for a schmo like I was, just so I could win the prize and be with my Messiah in the sky. They say on Bar Mitzvah day I became a man. I tried to live that way, done the best that I can, but I've been worried since way back when, 'cause I've never done anything great since then. And though I could live till 110 and never have need of a fountain pen, I might never succeed in the sight of men, and they won't let me get Bar Mitzvah again. But it's a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done, when I believe what they said was true, that Yeshua is God's only son. Well, I've done many things and I don't do a few, but this one thing I do made me a Jew born anew. Yes, through and through I'm a Jew born anew. So hallelujah to you, Yeshua, from this Jew who never knew Yah could come to die for a real Shlomiel, one who couldn't tell you were the long-awaited Holy One of Israel. And all of you who don't know Yeshua, let me introduce him to ya. He's the blessed Messiah. He's the Lion of Judah. And he wants to do to ya what he did to me. To live in a schlep like I was, yep, it's true, on Christmas morn, the truest Jew that ever was born. So the lie.
no lie, la lie, lie, la lie, lie, lie. A Jew born anew. Am I? Hey!
Wow, Marty Goetz, a Jew born anew. Hallelujah to Yeshua from a Jew who never knew ya. Love it. All right, just a few moments to go before my interview with Rabbi Ron, but right now let's hear about Europa Cafe.
If you're hungry and in the mood for something different, I highly recommend the Europa Cafe in Delhi. It's at 1694 Penfield Road. They're open Mondays, Tuesdays, Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Europa Deli is a gourmet food store that specializes in European foods from countries such as Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, Bulgaria, Germany, Poland, ex-Yugoslavia, and more. They have an extensive variety of imported foods, smoked meats, seafood, cheese, pastries, and more. Their cafe and bakery has the most delicious baked items. You just have to try it. Europa Cafe and Deli, 1694 Penfield Road. Call them at 585-385-2040. Come in and tell them that you heard about it on Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shema Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme bagels tonight.
Okay, here's your chance to win a coupon for bagels. In the Bible, who did the sun and moon stand still before? There was a guy, and the sun and the moon stood still before him. Who was he? 222-2990. And you're not going to have time to go on the air because I have a rabbi to talk to. But give us a call, 222-2990. In the Bible, who did the sun and moon stand still before? 222-2990. Be sure to call now. Everybody, go to your phones immediately. Do as I say. I'm a Jewish mother. I will be obeyed. All right. Meanwhile, as promised, live in the studio, Rabbi Ron Goldberg. Shalom, Rabbi Ron, and welcome back to Bagels and Blessings.
Yes, it's so good to be here with you. I have to look forward to coming here.
Oh, it's great. You know, recently I took an improv class, and you and I together right now, it's kind of like improv because you don't really know what I'm going to say. I don't know what you're going to say, but it's going to be good.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, what's a nice Jewish boy like you doing in a place like this, huh?
What am I doing? Anywhere an invitation goes, I got to fill up my day. My daughter's in college in Cortland, so I get to come back to New York and spend time visiting. And there's no place like home, Shema Yisrael, and Bagels and Blessings to get my time in here in Rochester.
Aren't you sweet? You're just sweet talking now.
Sweet talking.
Oh, my goodness. Ladies, don't get too excited. He's taken, and he's got five. Is it five kids?
Five kids.
I lost track. Five, six,
so did
seven.
I. But the beds are filled every night, so I guess it's all right.
Your oldest is how old?
23.
Oy vey. And your youngest is?
17-year-old twin girls at 17.
Wow. Amazing.
Two kids a little less than 2 years apart. I mean, each kid is a little less, the difference between each of the kids, a little less than 2 years. So we had five kids in a hair less than 6 years.
Your wife is a saint, isn't she?
She's a saint, a weary saint.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow. So let's see. You live in Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida. Yeah, I could pass on the snow, but I came early just so I could speak at SUNY Cortland, my alma mater, which meant I had to drive through snow 2 days while it was snowing.
Congratulations.
Yes, a little picture from the past.
He lived to tell the story.
Yes.
So tell us what you've been up to. What is Rabbi Ron Goldberg doing these days?
Ron Goldberg had to spend time incorporating Ron Goldberg Ministries so I could take care of things. And so to move forward with ministry and got that going. And right after that, the man on the board came to me and said, Ron, would you come to Uganda, Africa with me to teach about Israel? And so I said, if my wife lets me go, I'll pack my bags.
There you go. There's a perfect example. You invite him, he comes.
Invite me and come. My wife doesn't want me sitting in the house. Get out and work. And so call me up and I'll come speak.
What are you going to talk about?
We'll see. In Africa, I'll talk about Israel, a little bit the feast, and my personal story of coming to faith. And I love doing that and giving some good challenges, whether to a non-believer or to those who already do belong to Yeshua.
Mm.
Great opportunity for both, sharing my story.
Yes. Well, I think we won't take time to hear your entire testimony on this show. We've done it many times, but I do want to ask you about one part of it. I know that your family was so upset when you became a believer in Yeshua that they had you speak with deprogrammers, and I want to know, how did you cope with that situation, and how was that for you, and how did your faith keep you from being destroyed at that point?
There are always, we all have experiences that greatly shape our life, and that is obviously one of the biggies in my life. It has shaped it. And it shapes it so much that I can't just go out and teach and give a little one-verse response and say, just trust me. Because if when I did that, when I was going through deprogramming in Brooklyn, New York, Crown Heights, Lubavitch headquarters, I met the Rebbe Menachem Schneerson before they proclaimed him to be the Messiah. I didn't know who he was then.
And let's back up for 1 second. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, can you explain to them what deprogramming really is?
Yes, and so all of a sudden I tell my family I believe Yeshua is the Messiah. They call the rabbi. They never cared what the rabbi thought before. They didn't go to temple but 2 days a year. But when your son believes in Jesus, Yeshua, now the rabbi knows what to do. He's the expert, rabbis and pastors. This is your everyday life. They don't listen to you, but when there's a crisis at home. So the rabbi was going to talk to me, and then he said, oh, I got a friend, Yehuda, in Brooklyn, New York. His full-time job is meeting people like me who are Jewish but have come to believe Yeshua's Messiah so that he could try to persuade me to reject and give up Yeshua.
I wonder what their success rate is. Hopefully not very high.
When I was in Binghamton, New York, leading a congregation, the Chabad and the Jewish Community Center, every 2 years, as far as I recall, brought out a deprogrammer. And they would do their training, why not to believe, to try to get you before. And so I would go to all the events. So one is when I would talk with people and they'd say something, oh, you were at the meeting last week and heard so-and-so good. I was there too. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And I would do that to make sure I stayed on top of things, plus so that I could smile at everybody in the meeting and enjoy their company. And so one of the times Rabbi Tovia Singer was out speaking at Binghamton University, and they asked him that very question, how successful? And I can't believe the answer he gave him. I commend him for his honesty, but I can't believe he would say it in public. He said, it all matters when you get to them. If you get them when they're still in college and mom and dad are paying the bills, then you always pretty much get them back to reject Yeshua, back to rabbinic Judaism. But if you don't get them till afterwards, after college, and they're paying their own bills, it's very difficult. Can't believe he said that in public, but unless my ears play trick with me, I remember that clear as day from many years ago.
Wow. So
it's money, not the scripture.
Okay, so getting back to your personal story, your parents sent you to, or do they, were you actually kidnapped, or how did that work?
No, it was amazing. I don't know where my brain went this one night, because my parents then, I told them I believed, I went back to Cortland for college. The next day, they call me, the rabbi wants to see you. So he'll see you Sunday morning because Saturday's Shabbat. So I come home the next weekend. Saturday night when Shabbat ends, the rabbi calls. And I can still remember, my parents don't live in that apartment anymore, but it's the one I grew up with. And I can remember being standing next to the phone, the land phone that did work that day.
Somebody's landline works.
Back in 1985, it worked this day. And Rabbi Scholar called up and he says, I could help Ron, but I realized I got a friend in Brooklyn. And he specializes his full-time job. And I remember looking and saying, Mom, I don't care. What's the big deal? I don't care what rabbi I talk to. I don't know where my brain went because I'd read books that if you come to faith in Messiah and you're unwilling to go to men like this, that they, in fact, might kidnap you and hold you there against your will until you reject Yeshua. And so I knew about these guys, but somehow my brain went blank. And so I said, fine. So the next day, we drove into Brooklyn, New York. My sister, against her will, was put in the car, and my parents, and the four of us drove to Brooklyn, Crown Heights. And Yehuda looked at me at one point and says, don't you realize that Hitler was a Christian? As Hitler was a Christian. So now you've joined the Nazis in killing the Jews.
Oh, dear. There goes the guilt.
Exactly. Jewish guilt at its best. If you want an example, visit Yehuda in Brooklyn, New York. So my mother starts weeping and crying like any good mother, Jewish mother. And so Yehuda looks at me and says, look at your mother.
You're killing her.
Basically is what he said. You mean to tell me that a loving God has asked you to believe something that would cause your mother to respond like this? That was the game Yehuda played in Brooklyn, New York.
How did that make you feel, son?
So she's asking as a mother. It makes you feel horrible, but that was why God had me wait 4 years to tell my family. He had to prepare me not only scripturally for the studies that would follow, but for the emotional battle that I was going to be going through. And so emotionally, I had to be ready to encounter things like this with my family.
So you were armed and dangerous.
I guess so.
So they basically, bottom line is, they were not able to convince you.
That's right. And every rabbi I meet since then says, those boys in Brooklyn must have not known what I've done, what they were doing. And if you would have come to me, I could have shown you the truth. I said, yeah, that's what you all say. It's very nice. But I spent the day there with the family, just pure Jewish guilt. Then I was brought back the next weekend, 3 hours Friday night, two of them there, Yehuda and Zalman. Saturday after service, 7 hours straight more of studying. And since that didn't work, every Monday night, 11 p.m. to midnight on the phone studying, Yehuda, Zalman and I, and did this for months for the rest of the semester. So I had weekly study every Monday night, 11 p.m. to midnight with Zalman on the phone. I had homework, read the book, and then we discussed it on the phone.
You were their biggest armed failure.
Possibly. I don't know. It's very possible. So,
wow. So since that time, you became a Messianic rabbi. How did you become a Messianic rabbi? I forgot.
How did I become a Messianic rabbi? Somehow I wound up in an Assembly God church. I never heard of those guys, but it was the only Christian I knew in Rochester, so I got taken to a church.
Wait a minute. Somehow, I'm picturing this wandering Jew. Somehow he wanders into Assemblies of God.
I'm in student teaching for college here in Rochester. I'm living with a family in Brighton. And so I just start walking the street one day. Whatever the main road is there. Was it Monroe Ave, maybe?
I think so.
And I just start walking the road. What's the neighborhood like? And I see a Christian bookstore. So I walk in. Oh, a Christian. Great. I don't know any Christians. Do you have a place to worship? No. And they tell me their church. I never heard of Assembly God, but you're the only Christian I know. Fine. If you'll pick me up, I'll go. And so they took me. And then at the end of the service, I got introduced to the youth minister since I was a college student. And the next day was Columbus Day observed. Back then, we used to get it off from public school. I don't know if they still do that.
Don't know.
Don't. And so I got to go out, have lunch with the youth pastor, and we chatted. And he says, you won't believe what happened. So I come to church the day before Sunday. He says, Friday night, this man, Jonathan Burtis, just started holding a Messianic Jewish Shabbat service using our facilities. And so I need to introduce you to him.
Oh, my goodness.
So of all people I meet someone who goes to a church that it just so happened that weekend, Rabbi Jonathan Burtis started Congregation Shema Yisrael. And so after lunch, we went back. He happened to be there just doing some study in an office space. And we got introduced.
And I know for a time you were the youth leader at Shema Yisrael when you started becoming involved at Shema.
Yes.
And did Shema send you out then to become a rabbi? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I was working with the youth at Shema, and I was also doing a little bit of college outreach. And at Binghamton University, one of the Christian groups asked me to come and teach them how to share the good news with Jewish people. How do you answer questions by Jews? I love doing that. So invite me. Ask us questions here. Invite me to come to your Bible study at church. Whatever you like. And so I got invited out to Binghamton University, and they said, we keep getting Jewish students asking us questions. Come back, come back. So I kept coming back. And then finally, some adults contacted me. I don't even know how. We want a Messianic Jewish congregation. And I said, I work with young people. I don't care about adults. And God says, just don't say that. And just
just go with it, son. Just go with it.
So I collected a few names and phone numbers. Then Rabbi Jonathan Bernis says, look through our directory here, our mail list, and find other people in the Binghamton area that are interested in Messianic Judaism and see. So I contacted people, and 12 of us met on a Friday night to talk and pray about a Messianic work in Binghamton, New York. And so I started going out once a month to hold a service in Binghamton, New York. And they kept saying, come here, move here, move here, and start a congregation. And so Jonathan Bernis came with me, met the group, and says, I think God's up to something. If you feel God's calling, pack your bag. So Shema Yisrael sent me to Binghamton, and we started ministering there full time.
You've come a long way, baby.
And so, yeah.
You know, since you like to answer questions, I wonder if there's anybody out in our listening audience that has a question for you. You're so good at that. Shall we open up the phone lines?
Let them open them up. Call.
All right.
Talk to us.
222-2990. It doesn't happen very often that I have someone like Rabbi Ron Goldberg here in the studio, but think of him as the answer man. You may have a question about, is Jesus really the Messiah? Or you may have a question about how is the, you know, what is the best way to share Messiah with my Jewish neighbor? This is a good chance for you to call 222-2990. I urge you to call now if you have a question for Rabbi Ron, 222-2990. And so I know eventually you moved to Tampa, and now you're traveling. And tell us about your website and how you just recently incorporated.
Yes, we started a website, Rabbi Ron Speaks, plural, at the S at the end, rabbironspeaks.com, since that's a large part of what I do is speak, whether in a radio, online, video, in congregations, out on the streets, if anyone's willing to ask me a question. And so we have rabbironspeaks.com. There's a page, Contact Me, and so you have an opportunity to contact me, ask me a question, invite me to come speak, anything you like. And so I have information there sharing some of the teachings that I regularly get asked to share at churches or Messianic congregations. And then since I don't know how to set up a website, I can handle Facebook, and they have an events calendar. So I go to the events calendar, and then that events calendar tells me where am I going today. So that I know, like tomorrow, I'll be speaking in Owego, New York at a church. So I'll know to go there tomorrow morning.
And away we go.
Away we go.
Really, guys, I want you to call and ask your questions. This is an amazing opportunity. It doesn't happen very often here on Bagels and Blessings. If you have any questions about sharing Messiah with your Jewish friends, any questions about the validity of the Bible, is it really true? Or is it just a bunch of fairy tales? Or is it really true? Call 222-2990. And Rabbi Ron will answer your questions, as he does so very well. I'm so excited about all the things that God is doing. But you know, it occurred to me, I've never asked you this question before, but have you considered writing a book?
I have 70 or so, I don't know how many pages. I do have a book written of my testimony. And someone was going to start to proof it, but they said they didn't want to be a ghostwriter so they could make suggestions and then I'd need to do it. But then a week or two later, I was the guest speaker at her congregation. And this is the dilemma I'm in, so maybe you'll help me or someone will call in for this advice then, is she said, Ron, you could write the book, but it's not like you're passing on information, tons of information in this. That would be sharing. I could do that. But with my story, She said, you're a verbal communicator and a visual, the facial, et cetera. We were talking about Toastmasters, public speaking. And so I love engaging the audience. And she says, so your communication written should not be your first choice, but a visual needs to be the first choice. And I love engaging it, especially with my story. I found out different ways, some things to comment and get their attention. So what I really, she said, the first thing you need to do is do a video of your story. And I need to make that effort in the next few months to start with the video and get that available.
That's a good idea. I've seen some videos you've put together on some of the holidays and things, and you do that very well. But, you know, I'm not just thinking about your testimony, although that would be excellent because you have so much to tell. But I'm just thinking about all the experiences you've had on college campuses and things that happened with your family and different opportunities to share Messiah with Jewish people that you, in your, all your travels. There's so many things that you have to share. And I'm sure there's some humorous things that have happened to you as well. And I just thought that might be a good idea. Anybody out there want to call? Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. He doesn't bite. I don't bite. 222-2990 if you have a question. Or maybe you're just enjoying this wonderful time hearing Rabbi Ron speak. After all, who doesn't love hearing him speak? You do speak very well.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I've got it now that I'm not in Toastmasters. I need to be conscious of my oohs and ahs again.
Who would say such a thing to you?
So those of you in Binghamton, New York, who were part of it at Binghamton University Toastmasters, forgive me. I've been reminded of my roots and that I need to pay attention again. So
never forget your roots.
Never forget them. But right here in Florida, Yehuda is not the only one who referenced Hitler. But right here in Rochester, New York, I was standing out on Main Street, downtown Rochester, mm-hmm. McDonald's, if it's still there, on the downtown business district, and passing out little tracts outside it. And a man walked up to me here in Rochester and says, don't you know you're trying to finish the job that Hitler started? That was what a man said to me. Right here in Rochester, New York, Hitler is brought into conversations at USF, a lady, when there was an outreach. I was at a table, and this lady brought up Hitler in the conversation. And then I looked at her, and I said, so how many times have you and I personally met before that you have the information available to make all these statements about me? And she says, never. Then I said, then why are you saying all this? You never met me before. How can you do this? But she brought up Hitler. And so, but Jews for Jesus taught me to diffuse, bring in a little humor, and was able to do that. And within a minute or two, the lady apologized after bringing up Hitler and making a comparison to me and Hitler. She apologized, and we at least had a friendly conversation, a respectful conversation for the last several minutes there.
And you smiled.
And I smiled. And that's, I love it when you go out to engage people, you have zero clue of what's coming next. And I don't know, for some reason I enjoy that just start a conversation, have no idea what's going to come out of your mouth, and that's part of Toastmasters, the impromptu talking. You got to just be ready, ask a question, and sound intelligent no matter what it is you say.
Absolutely. Well, then let's answer. I'm going to have you answer this question. This is probably one of the most common questions that you get, and it's simply, how can you be Jewish and believe that Jesus is the Messiah? And maybe you'll have to explain the difference between Christian and Gentile in that statement, but how do you answer that question?
How can you not be Jewish?
Answer a question. He's so Jewish, he has to answer a question with the question.
When you read the New Testament, the scriptures about Yeshua, and on a few occasions, a non-Jewish person comes up to him. Hey, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why are you bothering me? What are you doing here? Jewish people come to me. When Rome was then involved and they were crucifying Yeshua, what did they put on the stake above him? Yehuda, now I'm drawing a blank on the
Melech,
Hebrew.
Melech Yisrael.
He is Yeshua, king of the Jews.
Yeah.
King of the Jews. They did it to irritate the Jewish leadership. And you know, they'd come to him, the Jewish leaders, and to the Roman leaders and complain about things. And in one of the times, they're saying, what are you bothering me for? This is an internal Jewish religious debate. This is not some other foreign thing, Roman thing, future Christian thing. This is a debate, a discussion, a difference of opinions about, is he the Jewish Messiah? This was all completely within the realm of Judaism. So there's nothing non-Jewish. He's the Messiah of Israel, only lived in Israel. He tried to only minister to Jewish people, and on occasions, non-Jews were so interested, they came, and he saw their zeal, their interest, their desire, that he just says, I got to give you what you want. So sit down, let's talk.
What do you say to the average Jewish person who's afraid to look at a New Testament because they've been told that it's anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic, and that, you know, so they're scared. The average Jewish person's not going to open up a New Testament.
Fortunately for me, that's how one of the things, the second, third step along the path, I was so intrigued after just sneaking out to a religious service that I was offered a Bible, and I just said, I'm curious. And I read it, and it shocked me, stunned me, surprised me.
Whatever. So Jewish.
Word. It's so Jewish. It's all like we talked about, a Jewish Messiah, the land of Israel. He never left the borders, the boundaries of Israel. So don't pay any attention when they tell you that Jesus went to America, Jesus went to India. He didn't go anywhere else back then in the flesh. He stayed in Israel with the Jewish people. And you read all this, and I started reading Matthew, and it's referencing the Hebrew scriptures. He is the Jewish Messiah. He fulfilled the promises God gave to the people of Israel. And so you try to encourage them to look at the scriptures and just give it a little check. Look over and see if it's possible. And if you find it not Jewish, toss it aside, but give it a try. And if not, just ask me questions and go ahead and ask me questions and I'll answer them and see what happens. And so let's start there. And then hopefully through a conversation one-on-one or in a small group, they can see as I'm referencing things from the Jewish New Covenant scriptures that it's a Jewish book.
You know, you need to have your own television show.
I would love to do stuff like this again. And so at least right now I've been asked to do online video teaching, regular teaching.
Good idea.
And so at least it is something. I've got to learn a little the video part. So I've got to just get a little more training in business. Skype is the way I need to go. A little more technical improvement. But I've started Bar Bat Mitzvah video online teaching, one class for kids, one for adults. But something with a call-in and questions, yeah, that could be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, before we run out of time, let's talk again about your website and how people can contribute and help keep you going, help your kids go through college, etc.
That's right. We want our kids to at least have 3 square meals and a roof over their head, a blanket on the bed. And so we have to take care of the kids. And as well, we have work to do. I've been invited to Africa. I'm here traveling. I was in South Glen Falls. I'm here. I'll be in Binghamton. I was in Cortland. I'm everywhere.
He's schlepping here. He's schlepping there. Everywhere he's schlepping.
That's right. So we need to get a little gas money in. But anything God says, he'll bless you when you bless others.
So can we contribute right on your website?
Yes.
And so what is that website again?
RabbiRonSpeaks.com. RabbiRonSpeaks.com, and there is a page called Donate, very direct and to the point, and there's a button to click on and to send the money electronically, or it gives an address if you want to mail a check to Ron Goldberg Ministries. But the ministry, though, is Ron Goldberg Ministries, but that's for the speaking part, that website, but it has a page, so please come and encourage us, send a gift to help us so we can keep getting out and being available to talk with people.
Excellent. RabbiRonSpeaks.org.
Com.
RabbiRonSpeaks.com. Is your testimony on there as well?
Nope. It mentions the testimony. You can invite me to speak. And that one, it's entitled, Was It the Beer or Jesus?
Oh, man.
So we did that at the college campus. Figured that's a good place.
Was
it the beer or Jesus?
Was it the beer or... So tell me, Ron, was it the beer or Jesus?
Yeah, I found out, as I suspected, it was really the Jesus. And I want to get a 12x18 sign so that I can put on a display board for ministers. But I also want to take that on a tripod stand and just set it up next year on college campuses. Have the little tripod stand, 12x18, was it the beer of Jesus?
I love it.
And then say, let's you and I go sit down for coffee and talk. And I'll tell you my story. You tell me yours.
I love it. Well, besides praying for financial blessing, anything else you'd like us to be praying for?
Two things. One is Our van has 240,000 miles, and local driving gets 17 miles a gallon or 16. So I need to, if I'm driving South Glen Falls, Rochester, Binghamton, Cortland, I need a little better than 16 miles per gallon. So pray for God to provide a van, a car that gets some gas mileage much better than 16, 17 miles per gallon. And then I got invited to go to Africa to teach about Israel. And so pray that God will show me the teachings. We talked about what I should speak on, and now I need to sit down and just look through my teachings and be prepared to teach about Israel and Africa. But I feel that's something I should be doing. So pray the door is open anywhere and everywhere for me to stay busy and teach and be available for God to do what he wants.
Do you plan to do similar to what you did today in terms of your speaking? Will you be using PowerPoint and make it very animated? Because that's a good technique, I think.
Everywhere but Africa. I'm told don't bring your thumb drive or laptop for Africa. They're not expecting me to have laptop as part of my presentation. But for me, we all have our unique way of doing things. And for me, it's PowerPoint and humor. And it's my facial body language, but it's also the PowerPoint. We had Donald Duck paid us a visit in my PowerPoint.
Yes, I liked it very much. Yes. I especially like Donald Duck.
So it's part of who I am, the visual. And a lot of people are visual learners, and they'll remember. I just heard a teaching just 2 days ago on the computer. If you just speak like 10%, and this guy was actually wild enough to say 65% with visual, you'll remember. And so my desire is to use visual and use humor to keep your attention so that God could have the opportunity to speak.
Wow. Well, we have come to the end of our time together, but I know that there is going to be a day when Yeshua will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank you again. And of course, the next time you come in town, you will come right here, right?
I will always keep my Saturday afternoons free for you.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you so much, Rabbi Ron. You're not just a rabbi, you're a friend.
Friends.
Oh. All right. Well, now my friends out there who were afraid to call, it's time for the Aaronic Benediction.
Vayismorecha Yagerodunai panavalecha Vikunecha Yesadunai panavalecha We assemble Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, wholeness for your spirit, soul, and body. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua.
Woo, that was excellent. Thank you so much. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember that every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Next week's program will be pre-recorded. I will be out of town, but it's a special show all about mothers for Mother's Day weekend. Have a blessed week, my friends. Shabbat Shalom.